Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to MSTC Limited Q3 FY26 earnings call. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Deepak Modi. Thank you, and over to you.
Good morning, everyone. On behalf of Equirus Securities, I welcome you all to Q3 FY26 earnings conference call of MSTC Limited. From the management, we have with us today Mr. Manu Ghoshal, Chairman and Managing Director, Ms. Bhanu Kumar, Director Commercial, Mr. Subrata Sarkar, Director of Finance, and Mr. Ajay Kumar Rai, Company Secretary. We will begin the call with the opening remarks from the management, and then we will open the line for Q&A. I now hand over to Mr. Manu Ghoshal. Over to you, sir. Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning to all our esteemed stakeholders. It's my pleasure to be able to tell you that your company has been able to maintain the momentum of the last two quarters and achieve a nearly double-digit growth on total revenue as well as EBITDA year-on-year as compared to the same period last year on a nine-month basis. Now, leaving aside the recurring exceptional item of income from the strategic disinvestment of FSNL that happened last year, the PAT has also shown an increase of nearly 10%-11%. What's heartening is that the growth of revenue from operations has primarily been driven by the e-commerce segment, which is a result of the consolidation that we have been undergoing over the last year. We have also been able to clearly define our blue sky areas as basically that of software platform development, particularly in areas that are contiguous to our e-commerce operations. As we have mentioned during our last investor interaction, MSTC has been awarded the work of developing and operating the country's first exchange for trading UPI certificates. This project, on behalf of CPCB, is now in a fairly advanced stage with the live sites already operational and trading expected to begin in the coming fiscal. This should also open the doors for MSTC not only for inclusion of more commodities to be covered under the UPI framework on this exchange, but also give us the expertise and bolster our credentials to develop and operate more such electronic exchange platforms in the future. We had also informed our stakeholders earlier that MSTC has been selected by DGFT for developing an electronic platform for transparent allocation of tariff rate quotas for gold bullion imports. I'm happy to inform you that the first tranche of gold bullion allocation has successfully been completed on our platform, and further events have now been scheduled by DGFT. Another major initiative that we have been working on is a travel code, which we intend to introduce also in the new financial year. We intend to make the travel booking experience seamless and responsive as a key differentiator. Now, with respect to major business highlights during the quarter and the future outlook, I will request our Director Commercial to brief you, followed by Director Finance to briefly summarize the financials so far. Before I hand over, let me also update you about our joint venture MMRPL. As you are aware, over the last few quarters, there has been a slew of measures taken by MMRPL's management to rationalize costs and simultaneously try to drive revenue growth. As a part of this, an RVSS unit at Noida, which was incurring a very high running cost, has been closed. A new one has been started at Kalyan. Apart from this, tighter inventory controls and OEM-driven rise in volumes of feedstock are now visible, which is on the positive side. Needless to say, we are monitoring the trend very closely and are glad to report that the net loss has been reducing sequentially over the last two quarters. With that, I'd like to hand over to Ms. Bhanu Kumar for her update.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. So the key highlight for the operational performance of standalone business is 525.55 billion INR during the 9 months of this current FY, The EBITDA translates to about almost 200 crores in the 9 months, vis-à-vis 182.41 crores in the previous year for the same period. And profit before exceptional items, also there is an increase by about 17 crores. The consolidated accounts also more or less gives the same kind of picture after accounting for the loss from the MMRPL. So the the profit stands at 170.94 compared to 187.61. Now the data business highlights has already been highlighted by our CMD in the inaugural address. But some of the other developments are that we have signed a key agreement with the Mantra Vaishnav Devi Shrine Board for sale of precious metals. This is of course a very regular auctioning kind of a portfolio that we have been doing for years. But the new addition definitely paves the way for more such temples and shrines to come into our fold. Apart from that, the ELV sales has also picked up now with the ecosystem generally improving. The number of vehicles coming through scrapping is also going up. We have also signed the agreement with the Ministry of IOS and Information Commission. These are our regular business. Apart from this, we have sold about 3.5 million tons of iron ore and for NMC. And we have also allocated about 22 coal blocks in the 13th and 14th round of commercial coal block auctions. Earlier, the participation was a little limited, but this time it has been successfully done. Now, as already highlighted, for DGFT, we have done the tariff rate quota allocation for gold bullion. We expect that this will be encouraging and it will be paving the way for future commodities like silver and others. Now, sand blocks also, for Chhattisgarh, this is the first time sand block allocation has been done. This is through a different methodology from what we had done in UP and RSP. Out of the 21 mines put up for critical minerals so far, the technical bids have been received for 17 mines. We have also auctioned some prime properties for Hyderabad Metropolitan Development Authority, and the outcome is very favorable, and HMDA is quite impressed with the performance. MSCC has also done about 13 events for the TMG of Tamil Nadu, mainly limestone blocks, and 12 limestone blocks are up for composite lining. Now, as already highlighted, the one thing that a major project that we are very buoyant about for the next fiscal is CPCP Electronic Trading Exchange. As of now, 5 categories of materials, battle base, have been identified and for which the EPR framework is already operating. But in the coming years, in another 1 or 2 years, we expect that another 3 to 4 categories will be added. So that will be a very robust framework, and the electronic exchange we expect that will perform well in terms of not just revenue, but in terms of profit and in terms of our credibility in such exchanges, establishing exchanges. We have also thought of, developed a platform for travel. Basically what was happening is the government had a different kind of ecosystem and the private sector had a different ecosystem for travel booking. So we want to offer a unified platform where, whether it's the government sector or the private individuals, either for business or for individuals, both B2B and B2C, we are developing this platform. And as already highlighted, the key differentiator here we want a very robust kind of interactive and responsive platform. So we will be able to launch it by April or so. And after that, definitely there will be improvements on that platform. So the revenues also will start coming in from the next year. Apart from this, more or less regular business is going on. Scrap sale this year has been a little better than what it was in previous 2-3 years. And nothing more to add to the business highlights as of now. Thank you. So I'll hand over to Mr. Sarkar for the financial highlights.
Yeah. Good morning, everybody. This is as already described by our CMD and the matter commercial on a flatter trajectory growth we had a revenue increase of 9.8%, up from 275.47 to 302.67. Mainly, growth is can be seen in the e-commerce, where we have growth of 9.26% from 197.91 to 216.23, and of course expenses also grew by 3.38%, and others are also grew by 11.38%. So EBITDA, as a result of these plus and minuses, has grown up from 182.41 to 199.95. That is growth of 9.61%. And depreciation almost remaining on the same flat, that is 7.66 as compared to 6.94 the comparative year. Profit and loss before exceptional item and taxes stands at 192.29 as compared to 175.29, a growth of 9.70%. But this is the main indicator where we have to concentrate for comparison, because PBT before taxes in the previous year there was an exceptional item, the majority in the form of sale proceeds of our investment in the FSNL, 273.5 crores, majority comprises of that. With that, earlier period PBT was 448.83, and this year it is 192.29. So if we have to compare between the two periods, we have to take the PBT before exceptional item. Then after tax, the profit loss after tax is 145.89. Earlier it was 335.91. So this is, again, we have to eliminate the factor. So if we eliminate the average rate of taxation, so here also we have growth from around 130.31 crore to 145.89, almost a growth of around 10% in the PAT factor if we eliminate that FSNL factor. And if we go by the segmental wise, so again that e-commerce has taken a front seat because it is a prime business that we are doing, a growth of 9.26% from 197.91 to 216.23. Other income also shown a similar growth of around 11.34% from 76.30 to 84.95. Marketing remaining stagnant, and the expenses only grew by 10%, and that too the notes, if we can refer our notes and accounts, there was a single point was around 2.39 due to some change in the gratuity rules. It is not that significant growth, and matching with the around inflationary part that we can say. And with that, that fat again stood at 145.89 as compared to 235.91. But if we have to eliminate that portion of exceptional item, again there is a growth of 10% that was earlier stated. If we go to the consolidated part, and right now, as our subsidiary has been disposed of, we were divested fully. We have only one line item comprising of our share and profit and loss from our joint ventures, single joint ventures, that is Mahindra Recycling Private Limited. Slightly on a flatter trajectory, last year the loss was 4.65 crores. This year our share of loss is only 4.68. So no major changes, but we are expecting, as CMD informed the shareholders, stakeholders, that there was a positive growth in a form of that loss has reduced on quarter-to-quarter basis. So it has come down this quarter as compared to last quarter. So with that thing, our consolidated profit after tax stood at 141.21 as compared to 331.52 last year. And with that, we can go to the standalone summary PLA statement, because standalone consolidated are almost same except for that share of loss. Then we can see that revenue from operation has grown 12.95% from 222.10 to 252.8, growth of around 13%. Other income, the slight increase of data trajectory, 51.81 from 53.37. Employee benefits, salary and wages grew by 9.04% from 66.87 to 72.91. There was no finance cost this year, and depreciation almost, though growth was around 10%, but it can be taken as a flat one from 6.94 to 7.60. There was no provision. Consequently, the good news for that the things are getting realized, as was promised in the earlier thing, earlier calls also, that with the waging of this trading business, there will be lesser provisioning probability in our booking account. And other expenses through that 29.81 as compared to 26.19, growth of 13.82. Of course, this is because of our growing operations that is going on. And with that, profit and loss stood at 145.89. So, as already stated, it's a growth of around 3%. If we just eliminate the exceptional item part. So, thank you very much for that. So, we now hand over to the caller for further Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Saurabh Ginodia from SMIFS Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning to the senior management, and thank you for giving me the opportunity. Sir, my question is on the e-commerce vertical. If you see the growth rate in the last three quarters, in Q1 we have grown by roughly 13% in the YOY for the e-commerce vertical, and in Q2 the growth rate was 10%. But in quarter three, the growth momentum has slowed down to 4% YOY growth, and further there is a decline of 5% sequentially. So, sir, my question will be why the growth rate has moderated in quarter three, and when do we expect the e-commerce vertical to grow in double digits, and what will be the key growth driver for the same? This will be my first question.
See, as you know, in the first quarter, if I can recollect the main contribution to e-commerce, there was some spillover of sale that happened in the last quarter of last year, because of which the growth was much more than what we had anticipated. I don't think we should be analyzing it quarter to quarter as far as e-commerce revenue is concerned. What happens is, a lot of factors come to play when we offer our services for auctions. The state government, the policy matters and all those things. So I don't think there is any cause of worry, and it's not a production company that will start worrying when one quarter goes down. So if you see in an overall level, year on year, I'm sure that I will be able to maintain the 10% growth that we have seen in the 9 months comparison. So I don't think it's the right way to interpret on positive.
But do we expect growth rate to be in higher double digit going forward anytime soon?
Yeah, actually, as we pointed out in the inaugural address itself, the new exchange that we are developing for CTCD, the APR trading exchange, we are expecting that it will contribute quite significantly in the next financial year. There again, Q1, Q2, we'll have to wait and watch how much contribution is coming up. Then probably we will be able to estimate as to what can be the contribution towards the overall e-commerce revenue in the next financial year. So we are very optimistic about this exchange, and definitely we are hoping that there will be good double digits.
Okay, so next year, FY27, can we expect growth rate to accelerate over FY26?
Probably after Q1, Q2, we will be able to give you a clear. By Q2, the exchange will be stabilized to some extent. See, any software, any new thing, it always has a gestation period. So the initial 5 to 6 months, people have to get accustomed to the portal, people have to start actually actively trading, and all those things will happen. There will be probably some policy refinement. So those things will be there. So by Q2, we expect that the exchange will be stabilized, and we will be having very good revenue from the exchange.
Okay. So my second question will be, in the recent budget, there is an announcement of 20-year tax holiday for foreign companies utilizing the Indian data center to serve the global customers. So how do we see this opportunity going forward?
At this point of time, our data center and our data center capacity is being primarily used for our own internal requirements. Now, that plus with some of the initiatives that we have been working on, there would be requirement of increase in our own data center capacity. So, the issue of using that capacity for, as a monetizing that capacity for external customers is not something that we are considering right now in the short term.
Okay. And what will be the estimated capex for this year and next year? And anything you can share on the dividend payout?
So, let me answer your second question first. Dividend payout clearly spelled out in our policy, that is 30% of the PAT or 4% of the net worth, whichever is higher, which is as per income guideline. Right. So, this will be at least the minimum dividend that company will pay. Balance will depend upon the scenario and, of course, the decision of the board in this regard. So, but the minimum is clearly spelled out. That is very much transparent so far the government company is concerned, and they are in the public domain also. So that is one part. Second part, in the capex part, we had our corporate building constructed this year in Delhi, and we are in the process of augmenting our resources like systems, servers, etc. So there will be some amount of capex that is depending upon the price situation time to time. And of course, that we will let you know. And it's the just starting of the year, so we are trying to figure it out, what is the requirement. And as you have just been told by our CMD and the commercial, that DPCB exchange is coming up and other similar things might happen. So with that, there will be obviously requirement of capex and capex and certain amount of OPEX also. So with that, obviously, we will keep on making certain cash. And for that, we will have our cash flow is available and we'll do it.
Here, I would just like to add another aspect. That traditionally, MSTC has been an asset-light company. And most of the capex that is expended, apart from, exceptional items like this new building which happened in the last fiscal, is on end-of-life replacement cost, basically hardware and software of our electronics, of our backbone. So that is something which is a fairly recurring expenditure and is not very high as since we are not a manufacturing or a production entity.
Okay. Any thoughts of utilizing the surplus cash, because we will be generating a lot of free cash flow going forward. So is there any plan, specific plan? Are we considering for any stock buyback or any other plan which you can share for utilizing this extra cash?
Yeah, anything that is basically the asset on the typically for the what you told about buyback, etc. That is decided as per the norms that are coming up India. And so far other inflation parameters are concerned. So what, as I mentioned earlier, also there will be a larger amount of OPEX also that we are expecting. So and for guidelines are concerned, it is the Government of India Department of Investment and Public Asset Management to come and give you guidelines, they will guide us. And so far, that is the main guiding factor. And time to time, board obviously will decide about the installation of gas, but the main thing would be just to wait, and because there will be some kind of project that will be coming up that will require some amount of pay also.
Okay, and sir, my last will be one request. As shareholders, we have been requesting the senior management for a corporate presentation since last 1 year. So if you can just consider putting up one corporate presentation where we can have a complete description about the company, that will help new shareholders to have better understanding of the business of the company.
Your point is taken that yes, we will implement this over, we will try to implement this in this quarter. So that, because you see, apart from other normal operational operation, over the last 1 year, the company has also been going through a stage of consolidation, tapering down certain elements of business, of the disinvestment of one of our 100% of subsidiary was going on. So at this point of time, we are quite clear about the way forward, and we will put in a presentation, putting in the broad outlines of that, so that, as you said, it would be useful for first time stakeholders as well as existing.
Yes, a 5-year vision, maybe from the senior management, if we can put up in the presentation and can be uploaded on the stock exchange as well as on the company website, will be quite useful to everybody.
Your point is very big. We will work on this.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Prashant, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, I just have one small question. As on 31st of March 2025, the assets, property, plant and equipment stood at around 53 crores, which increased to 196 crores as on 30th of September 2025. So the increase is around 150 crores. If I understand it right, it was the disaster recovery site at Delhi. Will it fetch any additional revenue?
No. Let me answer. Actually, you are little bit correct, but not fully correct. It is basically we have had a corporate office constructed at World Trade Center, New Delhi. So that is the main investment there. That's why it has increased. And answering to your second question, so I answer you in yes. You know, living in Delhi and having getting the higher management at Delhi will fetch more and more business. Of course, the results will be a little bit later on. We will reflect it in our financial statement. But sitting at Delhi in the capital hub will certainly give a positive advantage to a company like MSTC to fetch more and more business by liaising with the stakeholder. So my answer in that way is yes, but like you say, correlate with this and this, like plant and machinery, so it is not that way. It is like a business hub that we are creating over here. Secondly, we have a big team over here to look after the ongoing project. So obviously, we are looking forward to fetch more and more revenue and more good projects in future.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Anand from Mount Intra Finance. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir, you are audible.
Hello. Yeah. I just had one small question. Your employee expenses have increased 20% year on year. It's probably the highest. So is this going to be steady state or should we consider more increases?
Yeah, from where you... On a 9-month basis, it is increases 9% of this. So
No. I'm comparing Q3 25 to Q3 26. I mean, there's no problem, but
if you compare on quarter to quarter basis, it will give you a very dismal picture. But I think you have also read a note in our financial statement, which stated that there was a one-time service cost for BSNL in the quarter three of 20 crores. Element payable to the employee, which has increased from 20 lakh to 25 lakh. So that is the major cause of increase. If we eliminate that, the growth is
not no, that's fine. That's that's fine. I've got my
please moderate in that way, right?
Yes, I've got it. Thank you so much. No other questions.
Right.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Yash Naik from Kamayakya Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So I just want to understand regarding the new kingdom that we are planning to launch, which is the trial booking for the government employees. So if you could make me understand how is the revenue model. So are we charging on the transaction fee or it's a one-time implementation cost plus ANC type of model?
Actually, this travel booking, as I indicated, is for the government as well as for the private businesses and individuals. Obviously, the revenue model from both will be slightly different. It will be built into the system. And based on the services that is opted for, you know, this revenue stream, there will be multiple revenue streams. So it can be you know, built into the system in the ticketing cost itself or as a platform fee. Or it can also be through, you know, other means like advertisement and, you know, revenue sharing with other stakeholders. So there are multiple options available to us. We are still mulling over all the options available. It's not concretized. Now, as far as government business is concerned, this has to be through an empanelment process with the Ministry of Expenditure, Department of Expenditure. So that is a slightly long process. We take, we expect that it will take about 4 to 5 months for us to get empaneled. They're already on the job. So government business may come only after about 1 or 2 quarters, but the individual, the private business, we are expecting right from the next fiscal year, beginning of next year.
Okay. And if you make me, like, I just want to understand our growth driver, the growth going ahead. So if you could underline any top three e-commerce like platform of ours which can able to drive the growth for, let's say, the next 24 months. So if you could able to make me understand what are our growth drivers.
We are actually very optimistic about the exchange that we were talking about right from the beginning of this phone call. So this ETP exchange that we will be having for the EPR trading is something that we are very optimistic about, and we expect that to contribute quite significantly from the next year onwards.
And
so can we expect it from the second half of FY27, or it's from the we can expect from H1 itself?
The revenue starts flowing right from the Q1 of next financial year if everything goes as for our plan. But the actual growth will happen after it stabilizes over a period of 2 quarters.
Meanwhile, as far as the e-commerce segment is concerned, Grab, Iron Oat and Coal have always been the main drivers of our e-commerce revenue stream. And that is something that we expect will continue for the next 2 years at least.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Sidhu from Wealth Aggregator. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity. My first question is, how will the AI platform implementation support the e-commerce business in terms of improving operational efficiency and revenue growth? How do you expect this AI implementation?
Can you be louder and repeat the question?
Yeah. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Now yes.
Yeah. How will the AI platform implementation support the overall e-commerce business in terms of improving operational efficiency and revenue growth?
You're talking of AI?
AI platform implementation in the e-commerce business.
You're talking about artificial intelligence?
It means if we implement AI in the e-commerce business, could we improve our operational efficiency and revenue growth?
It is already there. Of course, the newer tools will augment the business. It will lead to more automation and lesser human intervention. So definitely operational efficiency will improve. The user experience will be better. Customer will be happier, obviously. So that we expect will drive to better growth in the future. We are already using certain tools and definitely, more analytics and AI is welcome. And we are exploring various options available.
Okay. And my second question regarding MSTC and Mahindra joint venture. What is the expected contribution to revenues right now? In the future too.
Revenue generally is not as contributed. Yes, we can see our consolidated financial statement. We generally consolidate the loss portion. So, profit or loss, whatever that is, currently is the loss. So, it is around 4 crore. But again, what I mentioned earlier also, the loss quarter to quarter basis is going down. So, with that, we are hopeful that is that will be very much be in a positive side that we can see. That we can see that is in the quarter two, this was a loss, share of loss was 1.65 crore. In this quarter, it is share of loss is 1.05 crore. And the corresponding period of last year, it was 1.57 crore loss, share of loss. So it is a positive step, and we hope that it will be converted into a positive one in the coming days.
Regarding MRP, okay. I'd like to also mention a few other things. One, despite competition from the unorganized sector, volumes of feedstock have started going up, which are basically being driven by the OEMs under the EPR framework. So that is a positive. Apart from that, internally in the company, very much tighter inventory controls have been implemented and rationalization of fixed costs. So large units which were not so profitable have been closed. A smaller unit, more profitable, more agile unit opened. So these basically optimize the volumes that are available at different geographical locations. And all of this have already started showing, as Mr. Sarkar pointed out, that there has been a reduction in the net loss going forward, which we are optimistic that will continue and bring the company in onto a much more healthy footing.
Okay. Thank you. That's all.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to management for closing remarks.
So, at the end of this investor conference, I would like to convey our thank you to all our stakeholders for being with us today, asking us these questions, because, and I always say, I mean, these are the questions which force us to introspect. Find out what we are doing right, what we are doing wrong, and course correct wherever necessary. So, once again, please keep those questions coming. Thank you very much.
On behalf of Equirus Securities Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.